Good morning. This morning, we're going to continue again the sermon series that we've been in, looking in Exodus chapter 20. So we've been studying the Ten Commandments together as a church family, going verse by verse through them, going one by one through them. And so we are on commandment number 9 this morning. And one thing I just want to remind you of as we think about the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament is that when you come to the New Testament, there are a lot of statements that are made kind of by Jesus and by Paul and whoever, just saying like, you know, this summarizes the law. This summarizes the Ten Commandments. You know, I'll give you one example, just Romans 13, verse 9. Let me just read this verse to you. I want to just do this by way of introduction. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling the law. Now, there are other verses we could go to kind of give that summary. But I just want to remind you of that, because in particular, as we are in the Ten Commandments, commandment 5, 6 through 10, and here we're on number 9, the real focus is on the horizontal relationships. You know, the first 4 commandments are really between us and God. No idolatry, you know, honor the Sabbath and that. But now as we look at things like honoring your parents, murder, stealing, bearing false witness, adultery, these things, okay, this is between us and our neighbor. Still very much between us and God, because it's his word, it's his commandments, but between us and our neighbor. And so as we now come to the 9th commandment, which is about bearing false witness, be reminded of that it's all about loving our neighbor, okay? Now, the title of this message this morning is The Truth and Nothing But the Truth. And I wanted to start with sharing with you all an excerpt from a book. It's a little bit on the longer side, and I'm going to give part of it on a slide where you can follow along, but I'm going to read the first part of it here. So listen very closely, okay? Here it is. This is a book by Samuel Logan, and he's speaking about himself. It says, the words were chilling. We would ask Dr. Logan to consider that, though motivated by, we believe, the good of Westminster Theological Seminary, he has been guilty of shading the truth, thus bearing false witness, as well as a failure in wisdom and discernment, and to make appropriate confession to offended parties. This was the official statement of Westminster's Board of Trustees in December of 2003. It represented the beginning of the end of my presidency of that seminary. Now, I want to read to you some more, but I want you to see these words on the screen. Of course, several issues played a role, but the only official statement from the board about what I had done wrong was the one cited above. I had violated the 9th commandment by bearing false witness. I had told a lie in a faculty meeting, one lie. Some may wonder if that is such a bad thing, so bad that I deserve to lose my job as president of a seminary. Well, the board's decision helped start me on a kind of pilgrimage that has resulted in this book. And the conclusion of this book is that, yes, it is that bad. My purpose in writing is to show that, as Christians, our words exist to reflect Christ's character, his holy concern for God's good name, his constant love for others, and his absolutely reliable truth. Amazing and weighty and challenging. I know it is. The 9th commandment is about bearing false witness. It's about lying. It's about being dishonest. And listen, we live in a day, a high-tech day, where there are cameras everywhere, right? There are digital footprints left behind by everything you do on your phone or computer. There are literal fingerprints as well. There are polygraph tests And of course, let's not forget, there is DNA. It has never been easier to catch someone lying. There have never been more good reasons to go ahead and just tell the truth all the time. And yet, the struggle with truthfulness persists. Satan is the father of lies, and he is indeed very active. Yet I think the greater issue, greater even than that, if there can be a greater issue than that, is a human problem. The lying problem is the result of the fallen and sinful heart. And technology and accountability cannot fix it. The only solution is the heart-transforming power of the good news of Jesus Christ, who said of himself, I am the way, you know it, the truth, and the life. And think of it. It's not just them. It's not just out there. Oh, yeah, all the lies, Pastor Matt. Fake news, alternative facts, government lies, conspiracy, my friend lying to me, my spouse being dishonest. No. Well, yes, probably, but it starts with me and with you. One quote I love from Pastor Tim Keller in a sermon in 1990 on this passage, he said, honesty starts when you become honest about your dishonesty and you recognize you are incapable of it, that is honesty, and it can only be a supernatural work of God. And so I want to quickly read to you Exodus 20, verse 16. It's a short verse. Again, the ninth commandment is brief and to the point. And we're going to pray, and then we're going to go through this sermon, which has two points. The first point being, what is bearing false witness? And the second one being, how am I to avoid bearing false witness? So Exodus 20, verse 16, hear the word of God. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Bow with me. Let's ask the Lord to add to the reading of his word, his grace and blessing. Lord, we thank you this morning for again leading the paths of our feet to the foot of Mount Sinai, to learn with your ancient people as your people today what your standards are, what your will is, what your holy character is like. And so, God, I pray that we would see clearly in your word this morning what you desire for and from us, and that, God, we would also in your word this morning find the power through Christ to live by your will, to do your will. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The truth and nothing but the truth, okay? So we are looking at the ninth commandment, and the first point this morning is, what is bearing false witness? What is it? Let's understand it. And again, verse 16 reads this way, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And so the first thing that I do want to say and say clearly is that bearing false witness is more than telling a lie, right? It's more than that. I mean, it is. And I think as we're kind of walking in this morning, I mean, I'm not assuming we're all aware of what the sermon's on. Sometimes I'm not even I'm preaching it, I'm not aware. But I'm just kidding. But like, I'm just saying, and maybe some of you were aware, you're like, oh, ninth commandment, it's about lying. Well, it is, but it's more than that. Bearing false witness is more than lying, but it's not less than lying. And so we need to understand that. We need to understand these words. There is clearly in the ninth commandment, like in the words of the ninth commandment, there is clearly sort of baked into it some key words, right? You see the word witness, and you see the word neighbor. There's like a legal context, like courtroom, like legal terminology, witness. And then there is like a relational context, your neighbor or your friend. And so it's not just the blanket, don't lie, it's there's actually sort of a context that it sits in, and that's important. So first, the legal terminology. Like if you were to translate the Hebrew of the ninth commandment of verse 16, it would kind of sound like this. Lo, that means do not. Lo, do not testify at your neighbor as a false witness. Or do not witness at your neighbor as a false witness. That's what it means. And the word here, this term for witness, it's defined as like a person who can give witness to a fact or event to confirm before a court with evidence, to confirm one's presence at the scene of the crime. They're an eyewitness. Like that's what the word is. And so clearly there's this legal context to the ninth commandment. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15, I'll show you this verse, because here we find this word like three times. A single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall a charge be established. Okay? Witness. So just think for a moment about them back then, right? Like the Israelites at Mount Sinai, like with Moses and the original Ten Commandments on the tablets. Like think about them for a moment. Before DNA. Before, you know, polygraphs, how could you tell what really happened in a given situation? How could you tell what justice looks like? And justice relied almost exclusively on faithful witness, faithful witnesses. Think of it. It did. And, you know, the problem of false witnessing was very real. Could be a very big problem. Think of all the ways that it would be damaging. Well, first of all, obviously, just it fails in loving one's neighbor, which is the standard, right? But think even more about it. Justice is corrupted and perverted. A false witness perverts justice. Worst case scenario, the person that you're false witnessing about is going to die for their crime. That's worst case. Best case scenario, the person you're false witnessing about will have irreparable damage done to their reputation. That even if you retracted and confess, I was false witnessing, it's probably not going to get to everyone, and that person's reputation has been damaged. And not only between the people, but in the community at large. Israel then, you know, this kind of thing would corrupt the entire justice system, leading to all kinds of problems, injustice, anarchy, etc. So the problem of false witnessing in a society that highly relied on true witnessing was a real problem. Hence the ninth commandment. They had to find ways to prevent this if Israel was going to be a strong nation that honored God. And so they did. What are they, you say? Well, the first one is make it the ninth commandment. Done. Check. The second one is require multiple witnesses, right? Two or three witnesses. We just read that verse. You can't just be going off this one person who's just saying all this stuff. No. And then another one is deterrence by there being a law that the false accuser would be liable to the punishment of the person he falsely accused. Let me show you that. Deuteronomy 19, right after the verse we just read. Now, verse 16. If a malicious witness, that's a false witness, rises up against a man to accuse him of wrongdoing, then both the men who have the dispute shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who will be in the office in those days. And the judges shall investigate thoroughly. And if the witness is a false witness and he has accused his brother falsely, then you shall do to him just as he intended to do to his brother. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. All right. So you see, again, we're just trying to kind of ask the question, what is bearing false witness? Because if you came in this morning thinking, ninth commandment, all right, thou shalt not lie. Okay, cool. I want to give you a little more. I want to kind of dive a little bit into what the Old Testament is talking about. The other big piece of this is the context of talking about one's neighbor, one's friend. So this could be a brother or sister in Christ. This could be someone who is not a Christian. This could be a literal neighbor or not. It could be a friend. It could be a classmate. It could be a coworker. It could be a family member. But there is a relational, you know, setting where we live out our lives where this commandment speaks into. And if you think of it, again, I'll read it. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We see that it's important. And think of why it's important. Because your neighbor and mine is made in the image of God. And we, when we bear false witness against our neighbor, we demean our neighbor, thereby demeaning God himself. In addition to the fact that we're breaking the ninth commandment, we're demeaning God and his image in our neighbor. And you don't have to be in a courtroom in Israel in, you know, before the time of Christ with Moses and the judges and the priests to do this, do you? No, you can do it now in Raleigh. It happens online with social media. It happens through texting. It happens on walks. It happens at coffee shops. We use our words. We bear some false or not quite true, but that's just false, right? False witness against our neighbor, and we damage their reputation. Gossip, slander. You know, whether you're the one doing it or you're the one listening and allowing it and participating in it. This kind of uncareful bearing false witness against one's neighbor can be disguised as venting, as processing, as sharing a concern or a prayer request. And Jesus in Matthew 15, verse 19, puts it this way. He says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness." And then he expands on false witness and says, slander. And so when we come to Ephesians 4, when Paul is talking about putting off the old self, putting on the new self in Ephesians 4, and then he comes to verse 25 and he says, "Therefore, having put away falsehood, in the old self, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." So I hope that it's helpful to look at the ninth commandment and to consider it in its original context and then sort of step a little bit into what it might look like to obey or disobey that in our day. What is bearing false witness? Now I want to look at how am I to avoid bearing false witness? All right? How am I to avoid bearing false witness? I want to give you 3 points underneath this point. And the first one is be honest about my dishonesty. This is the first practical sort of outworking of the ninth commandment in our lives. I'll read you a verse. Numbers 23, verse 14. "God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it?" So the reason I share this verse with you is multiple. One is that it is God's very character that he is truthful. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is true. What is man according to this verse? Well, if you look at this verse, man is the one that's not truthful, is the liar. God, truthful. Who are you in this verse? Are you God or are you man? Again, the point is, let's be honest about our dishonesty. Let's not pretend that any of us don't struggle with being human. Let's not just be dishonest. Let's also not be dishonest. Let's not just be honest about our dishonesty in that it exists, but let's actually be honest about what it actually is. We often reframe our dishonesty, meaning we give it like another little description. We say things or we talk about it as if our dishonesty was just some form of selfless over-considerateness, right? You know, the movie A Few Good Men, you can't handle the truth. We're just being considerate with our dishonesty. Or maybe we talk about just having a tad bit of a bad habit of fear of man. We reframe and we minimize our dishonesty, when in reality, it's a sin that dishonors the Lord. Back to the author that I quoted at the beginning, Sam Logan. He continues, that was on page one. On page two and three of the book, he continues to talk about that situation. It's a whole book about the ninth commandment. But he says this, and I quote, "I put the selfish concern of my good name ahead of my concern to honor Christ's good name by telling the truth. So in my heart and with my lips, I sinned." So the first thing in terms of how am I to avoid bearing false witness is to be honest about my dishonesty. Honest that it's there, honest about what it is. Confessing it, repenting, asking God for his grace to follow Christ through and in that. So now, number two, be committed to total honesty as a Christian. Here's what I mean. Have a conviction that what it means to follow Christ and be a Christian is to be a person who tells the truth in all situations. Have a conviction about that. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Here's the point. Jesus is saying he is the truth. And so if we understand rightly that as Christians, we're to be representing him, we're to be like Christ, that's always the mission, then when is it ever not the mission to reflect the truthfulness of Christ? Answer, never. And so have as a conviction a deep commitment to total honesty as a Christian. I'll show you another passage in the New Testament, one that is related to the ninth commandment, Matthew 5, verse 33 to 37. Let me read it to you. "Again, you have heard," this is Jesus, "again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.'" It's kind of a quote of the Exodus 20, verse 16. Continuing, "But I say to you, do not take on an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, and do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil." All right. We'll talk about this passage for 1 second. This is an often misunderstood saying of Jesus. Jesus was not saying that it is wrong to make a promise. He's the best keeper of promises that there ever has been. He was not saying it's wrong to make a promise, it's wrong to sign up for a commitment for a cell phone plan or for a house to actually go under contract. Oh, that's a sin. You should have just said, "I'm a Christian. I'll only say yes or no." Nope. He's not saying church membership is wrong. He's not saying all kinds of helpful commitments are wrong. He's not saying that. The issue was that in the day of Jesus, the Jews had built an elaborate system of levels of oaths, whereby the level of the oath dictated the level of obligation one had to keep the oath. So the heart issue here was that there was a heart looking for a way out of keeping one's word by utilizing this system of the levels of oaths. Does this make sense? It's kind of like the levels of spiciness of sauce for hot wings. So you're looking at the menu, what do I think I'm going to pick? That's how they work. They're like, how likely am I to break this commandment? Should I swear by my head? Kind of a lighter thing. Maybe I'll just swear by my head. Or should I swear by the footstool of God? Or should I swear by the throne of God? Or should I swear by heaven and earth? Like, what level am I going to give it? Because how serious is this? Meaning, sort of flip that around, how likely am I to possibly not keep it? That's what Jesus was attacking and going against. Because it shouldn't be that way. Christians are to be people who tell the truth without all of that. That's why he says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And we have our own ways of doing this, right? We do. Put your hand on a Bible, then tell the truth. Because if your hand's not on the Bible, maybe you're not as obligated. Under oath, not under oath, right? When you're in church, I'm not going to lie, I'm in church. And yet so many of us are always lying as we sing these songs, as we do all these things, right? I'm not going to lie, I'm talking to a pastor. I'm not going to lie if I'm talking to my best friend, but if I'm talking to someone that I don't know as well, I might be more okay with lying. It's the same thing. It's just a different version of the spiciness of the wing sauces. It's just a different system of seriousness of vows. It should not be this way. Again, how am I to avoid bearing false witness? It's difficult. We've got to be honest about our dishonesty, one. Two, we have to actually be committed to total honesty as part of what it means to be a Christian, to reflect Christ who is honest and true. Okay? Number three, love and wow your neighbor through being a true witness. How am I to avoid bearing false witness? Well, one way is to love your neighbor and wow them by being, instead of a false witness, a true witness. A true witness. Your commitment to honesty is a reflection of your Savior, who is the way, the truth, and the life. It is a countercultural testimony to your neighbor, your friend, your coworker, your family member, your classmate. In a world that is crooked and dishonest, your honesty and your commitment to honesty, and even your acknowledgement that you struggle with honesty, and yet your commitment to growing in honesty, will be a wow factor that is so different to people. Think of it. Some scenarios. Wow, Colin is a person who is honest in a loving way. He has and he will tell me when he agrees or disagrees. And because of that, I feel he is someone I can trust and can talk to about my life. These are the neighbors of Christians speaking. Wow, Jen is different. She, like, very politely and in a very non-judgmental way, just sort of stopped me when I was talking about the other moms. That kind of makes me feel safe with her. Like that she wouldn't talk about me. She's different. Wow, Greg just came over and apologized to me. He knocked on my door and apologized to me for telling me a white lie. I would never do that. But it didn't seem to be coming from a weird Christian perfectionistic place that I was thinking, where the focus was on letting himself down. It seemed to be something different. He said something about he wants to love me well as his neighbor, and he said he wants to represent Jesus well. Or this one. Wow, Sarah is small, but she speaks with a lot of care and a lot of boldness. She just told me about her faith. I learned a lot of new things just now. But it didn't feel like she was pushing her personal views on me. It just didn't feel like that. It felt more like she was sharing as a witness about the real story of Jesus that she too heard and came to put her faith in. So how am I to avoid bearing false witness? Be honest about my dishonesty. Be committed to total honesty as a Christian, using our words to build one another up, to be honest, to reflect God who is true, and wowing and loving our neighbors as faithful witnesses. Because that's really what God has called us to do, isn't it? Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Here it comes. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The truth and nothing but the truth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this ninth commandment. Thank you again for challenging us, Lord. We have all fallen short. We want to be honest about our dishonesty. We've told great lies. We've told small white lies. But to you, they're no different, Lord. They are a lack of truthfulness. And God, your forgiveness is so much bigger than our failings and our sins. Your blood, Jesus, truly washes over all of our sins, all of our lies. And God, when you look at us, if our faith is in Christ, you see his righteousness. You see his truth. So God, would you, by your Holy Spirit, make us these good, faithful witnesses who tell the truth to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.